You are now listening to Mark's Unexplained World by Mark the Medium from Hinckley Community Radio, a non-profit podcast radio station. Tonight's episode is about the Kira UFO incident. So it's over to you now, Mark.
In the Kira region of Kōshi City in Japan, in the early 1970s, there was a little-known UFO incident. However, although this UFO incident was little by comparison to others, it was certainly big enough to not only be one of the most debated UFO cases in the country of Japan, but it was a case that would actually leave behind physical evidence. It was also a case that, even in its native Japan, was not widely discussed. However, that all changed when, in the early 21st century, over three decades later, the incident was retold as a comic strip in a UFO magazine. This retelling would ultimately lead to the Kira UFO incident case being reopened and reinvestigated all over again. Because not only were there several photographs of the craft taken by witnesses at the time, but there was also a number of other adult witnesses who would corroborate the strange object due to it being in their possession. Greetings, Unexplainers. Thank you for tuning in again and listening to another space race episode of Mark's Unexplained World. My name is Mark Hughes. I'm a psychic medium, a ufologist, and a true crime buff. In this episode, I'm going to tell you the tale surrounding the unidentified craft story, more commonly known as the Kira UFO incident. And this week's necessary disclaimer. Well, unless you suffer from astrophobia, which is the fear of outer space, I cannot see you getting any nightmares from this week's story. However, do remember that, as usual, you listen to this episode at your own discretion, with all opinions and comments being strictly my own, but the true facts still remain. I also apologise if I pronounce anything incorrectly. Although English is still my first and only language, you would still be surprised at how many times I have mispronounced OFU. I mean, FUO, of course. UFO, sorry. Anyway, let's get back to this week's episode, shall we? The Kira area of the city of Kōshi on an island of Shikoku in Japan is located on the southern coast of the Kōshi Prefecture facing the Pacific Ocean to the south. The city of Kōshi itself is divided into three distinct geographical sections. The urban city of Kōshi lies at the head of the Urado Bay in a narrow alluvial plain crossed by several rivers, notably the Kagami River and the Kokobu River. On an early piece of interesting side note, an alluvial plain is a plain or a large flat landform created by the disposition of sediment over a prolonged period of time by one or more rivers that come from the highland regions from which alluvial soil forms. The alluvial plain is bounded by mountains to the north and a range of hills to the south and west. Thank you. On the afternoon of the 25th of August 1972 in Kira, a 13-year-old student named Michio Seo was on his way home from school when he saw a strange metal object floating just above a rice field. The somewhat perplexed Michio Seo watched as this strange metal object moved backwards and forwards over the waterlogged rice paddy, later comparing the object's movements to that of a bat making hairpin turns in pursuit of its insect prey. Michio Seo also described the object's appearance as looking like a dull silvery hat with a flat bottom and narrow rim. He further described the object as having a dome that curved over the edge that was in turn relatively steep at the apex. Like most young teenagers, Michio Seo was a curious young man, and in this instance his curiosity was no different than any other time. So, with a brave stance and a little trepidation, he began to slowly approach the small UFO that was in the rice paddy. However, as he got closer to the strange object, it then shot a blinding beam of light towards the young adolescent. Not wishing to further provoke the UFO, Michio Seo decided to, you guessed it, run away. Later that afternoon, the young 13-year-old Michio Seo returned to Kira to meet his four best friends. The other teenagers were named Hiroshi Mori, Yaseo Fujimoto, Katsuka Kojima, and a friend who is simply known as Yuji. Upon meeting his four friends, he told them all about his strange encounter with the small UFO at the rice paddy field. His four friends, although sceptical at first, were also intrigued, so they did not waste any time in putting together an impromptu UFO search party and go and find this strange miniature object. It was approximately at 7 p.m. on the 25th of August 1972, when the five teenagers, Seo, Mori, Fujimoto, Kojima and Yuji, finally reached the rice paddy, keeping a constant vigil. After an hour or so of no activity, all of a sudden, and to everyone's amazement, that is except for young Michio Seo, the small circular dome-shaped object returned. The five young teenage boys were beside themselves with excitement, looking at the strange object as it moved around the rice field about 18 metres in front of them. Then, as the sun went down over the horizon and the darkness began to creep in over Kira, the strange device started to emit a pulsating, multicoloured light. One of the young men, unfortunately I cannot seem to find out which one, began to walk towards the strange erratic UFO as it floated in the air. As this young man slowly approached the small hovering object, it suddenly emitted a deafening clicking noise and then began to shine with a bluish tonality. On a quick interesting side note, the word tonality simply means the character of a piece of music based on its key or on the relation of its tones and chords to a particular key note. This particular tonality was all the five young teenagers needed to send them running back very quickly to their homes. Over the next few days after their initial UFO sighting, the five young boys, Seo, Mori, Fujimoto, Kojima and Yuji, occasionally went back to the rice paddy field, but to no avail. And then, at about 9:30 p.m. on the 4th of September 1972, just a week after their first encounter, the five young men once more came face to face with this strange flying object, only this time it was only hovering at about 1 meter above the ground. The small flying object then started to slowly approach the five young boys, causing them to yet again, you guessed it, run away. Once the five young boys reached one of their homes, they decided, and once their courage would allow them, of course, to go back to the rice paddy field. Only this time, they were going to take what they were called back in the 1970s, a cine movie camera. And they planned to spend every minute of every day, or as many minutes and days as they possibly could, on the rice field with hope of capturing the strange miniature UFO on film. The boys started this surveillance on the following night, on the 5th of September, but nothing happened. However, on the next night, on the 6th, things took a very different turn. After this first short break, in part two, we will look at the further adventures of the famous five and the Kira UFO incident, and how other witnesses got involved.
This show is brought to you courtesy of Neil Packer and the Haunted Antiques Paranormal Research Centre. Find them online at www.hauntedresearchcentre.com or at 9211 Regent Street, Hinckley, LE10 1AW. Open on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for guided tours of the haunted rooms at just £3 per person. Booking is essential at all times, and over 16s only, please, unless accompanied by an adult. The haunted rooms are extremely haunted, and paranormal activity could and has taken place at any time. Some areas and particular objects or items can be quite scary and unnerving. Membership is available for £25 to qualify for selective offers. And why not download the app available on both iOS and Android for only £3.99. to keep up to date with what is coming up at the centre.
On the next day, the 6th of September 1972, as the five boys made their way back to the rice paddy field, they spied, lying on the ground in a field in front of them, the very same strange miniature UFO. However, the five teenagers, who this time turned up with a camera, decided to take a picture before approaching the strange object. Then, once the flash on the camera had gone off, and the photo was taken, the strange object that was on the ground began to spin and gently rise up into the air, which at this point, the teenager with the camera then took another photo. Then, the strange object emitted a light that was even brighter than the flash of the camera, and then it fell back down to the floor, spinning around, like it was sinking into the ground. Then suddenly, it stopped moving. After a bit of a pause from all involved, the boys all looked at each other, wondering what was going to happen next. Eventually, the 14-year-old Hiroshi Mori slowly and cautiously walked towards the silent and motionless strange object. Then, Hiroshi Mori, who had had his Weetabix and was feeling particularly brave that day, decided to lift the motionless object with his bare hands. Whilst Hiroshi Mori held this strange object, he claimed that he could feel something moving inside it. And so, another picture was taken of Hiroshi Mori holding the strange object. The boys, as you can imagine, were in absolute awe of this strange miniature metallic UFO that they had found. So, Hiroshi Mori, being not just particularly brave, but being sensible as well, decided to wrap the strange object in a plastic bag and put it in his backpack to take home. Once the five teenagers got back to Hiroshi Mori's home, the boys cautiously and very carefully measured their prize. The strange object was almost 21 centimetres, or just over 8 inches wide, and about 10 centimetres, or nearly 4 inches high, and was said to weigh about 1 kilo. The teenage boys also discovered a series of concentric curves on the object. Concentric meaning denoting circles, arcs or other shapes which share the same centre with the larger circles, often completely surrounding the smaller circles. Engraved at the base of the object were 31 small holes and 3 different unique designs. The boys also believed that the engravings on the strange object, represented waves, clouds, a bird, or possibly some other kind of flying object. And they also spotted something on the strange object that they interpreted as being a flower in bloom. They also noticed that the strange object had no visible propulsion system. So, how did it fly? After the teenagers had given this strange object a thorough inspection, they again carefully wrapped it back up in plastic and took it to the home of another boy called Yaseo Fujimoto, whose father was Mutsuo Fujimoto, the director of the Center for Scientific Education in the city of Koshi. On an interesting side note, the Center for Scientific Education, which is now known as the Koshin University of Science and Technology, or CUSAT for short, is a state government-owned autonomous university in Koshi, Kerala, and India. The university was founded in 1971 as the University of Koshin through an act of the Kerala legislature, which was the result of a campaign for postgraduate education in the state. It was renamed as Koshin University of Science and Technology in February 1986. Its goals are to promote undergraduate and postgraduate studies and advanced research in applied science, technology, industry, commerce, management, and social sciences. Mr. Mutsuo Fujimoto gave the strange object a superficial examination, originally assuming that the boy's finding was of little importance. This would be a decision that Mr. Mutsuo Fujimoto was going to come to regret. He said, and I quote, "A frequent night out of the boys started to worry the parents. I told my son, if it was true what he was saying, bring the object. He did, and it was something like an ashtray, cast iron, but too light for this metal. It had a lid down that was impossible to open, and On the inside, there were pieces similar to a radio. I did not give it more importance, but now I regret not having studied it more closely. After the inspection of the object by Mr. Matsuo Fujimoto, the object was returned to Hiroshimori's backpack. However, much to the disappointment to all involved, and barely a day later, the strange object mysteriously vanished. However, this would not be the last time that the strange object would both appear and disappear. Over the next couple of weeks, the five teenagers, that's Seo, Mori, Fujimoto, Kajima and Yuji, all claimed to have seen the same, or at least an identical strange object in flight on at least six more places in various locations around Kira. Even Mr. Mutsuo Fujimoto himself, who, if you remember, was the director of the Central for Scientific Education, claimed he saw it at least three times. The five teenage boys, after putting their heads together and doing some serious head-scratching, came to the conclusion that the main underlying factor regarding all these UFO sightings was that they never seemed to occur on a rainy day. So, one of the things that they pondered over was whether the strange object was in fact scared of water. Yep, I cannot quite get to grips with that one myself, but there you go. But with this idea in mind, the five boys formulated a new plan to recapture one of these strange miniature UFOs. On the 19th of September 1972, the five teenage boys once more returned to the original rice paddy, armed with a bucket of running water and some damp rags, to try and capture this elusive UFO. This time, luck was on their side, as the boys noticed, sitting motionless on the ground of the rice paddy field, was the strange object. The five boys then acted quickly and covered the strange object with damp rags. They then placed it into the bucket and then poured the water over it. Then, whilst it was still in the bucket, they turned the object over and began to fill the holes in the base of the UFO with more water. However, as soon as the water entered the device, it started making a deafening buzzing noise that the boys compared to that of the sound of a cicadas. Yeah. On an interesting side note, the cicadas are an insect in the order of Hemiptera, or otherwise known as true bugs. The singing of the male cicadas is produced using a special structure called a timbal, which produces their characteristic sound. This sound may further be modulated by membranous coverings and resonant cavities. The male abdomen in some species is largely hollow and acts as a sound box. A cicada combines the clicks into apparently continuous notes, and its enlarged chambers serve as a resonance chamber with which it amplifies its sound. There are more than 3,000 species of cicadas from around the world, with many species still remaining undescribed. As the five teenagers continued with their capture of the strange object, the interior of the mini UFO started to glow, and the five boys suddenly felt that the small craft may try to retaliate due to it being captured. So, they began to move away from the trapped stationary mini UFO slowly and cautiously, and at the same time, for some unknown reason, they started to throw stones at it.
Seriously?
Oh yes, poisoning. However, despite the boys' fears of a worldwide alien attack, the 1 kilogram flying object remained tied to the ground, and the boys laid claim to their extraterrestrial conquest. After this second short break, in part 3, we will look at the resilience of the strange object and how the Kira UFO case was reopened many years later.
Fright Nights was established in 1999 as the first company in the world to offer overnight ghost hunt experiences to the general public, pioneering paranormal events since the last century. Fright Nights operates at hundreds of the UK's most haunted and exclusive venues. All events have their own team of experienced paranormal investigators, mediums and psychics. They have a VIP members club for regular returning guests, offering loyalty discounts and exclusive invitation-only events. They can also host private events for your family and friends. You can contact them on 07852 998 628 or email them at office@frightnights.co.uk. Or take a look at their website at www.frightnights.co.uk, where you can see the many locations they investigate and learn about them and the opportunities they have available. Hundreds of ghost hunters join Fright Nights every month for the most thrilling ghost hunting experiences they'll never forget. If you haven't been on a ghost hunt before, then why not join them to see what it's all about? Why not visit their social media sites for up-to-date information on all the places they visit and to see what's coming up in the future? They look forward to seeing you all soon. Fright Nights Ghost Hunting Events. Remember, only the original will do.
It was decided that the captured strange object should be given to Michio Seo and Hiroshi Mori for safekeeping, while the other three teenagers returned home. Later that same day, after the boys had all done their daily home chores, they regrouped and returned to take another look at their prized conquest. However, their keen and eagerness to take another look and be in awe of their find soon turned to disappointment, because when they went to look at the mini UFO, they discovered that yet again, the strange object had disappeared. A few hours later, after an unsuccessful search for this small UFO, two of the boys, Katsuki Kojima and Hiroshi Mori, decided to play ball at Hiroshi Mori's house. The game was going quite nicely when Hiroshi Mori kicked the ball over the fence, which meant that Katsuki Kojima, I do apologise, had to climb over the fence in order to fetch it back. However, to Katsuki Kojima's surprise and delight, he saw, there in front of him, the motionless, missing strange object. So, very quickly and carefully, he picked it up with his... So, very quickly and carefully, he picked it up and with Hiroshi Mori's help, quickly fled back into the house. Hiroshi Mori then quickly called the rest of the gang, who came round to his home faster than a knife fight in a phone booth. This time, the boys were a little more composed and practical with their find. Due to the boys losing and finding the object so many times, they decided to mark the strange object with some paint, so that if it does disappear again, this would confirm that they were actually finding the same UFO, rather than a different, although identical, machine. Oh. on the night of the 22nd of September 1972, the five teenage boys met up for a bike ride into the city of Koshi. In order that the strange object didn't do another disappearing act, it would be sealed in a plastic bag full of water. A rope would then be tied from the knot of the plastic bag to the wrist of the wearer, and then the knotted bag containing the strange object would then be placed inside a canvas bag. The canvas bag was then passed from cyclist to cyclist as they cruised through the city of Koshi, until it ended up in the basket of its last carer, with the idea being that the strange object would no longer be left unattended. Yes, the boys were taking no chances. The five cyclists then continued their journey to the city of Koshi until they approached a local bike shop. It was at this point that the last carrier of the strange object claimed that he felt his wrist, which was attached to the rope of the knotted bag and that was inside the canvas bag, keep up people, was pulled with great force. He then immediately called out to his fellow cyclists, who then stopped in front of him. The first thing the boys did after dismounting their bikes was to open the canvas bag and untie the rope and knots in the plastic bag. However, to their dismay and shock, when they looked inside, they found that, even though the knots had not been untied, the strange mini object had yet again disappeared. Sadly, this was the last time that the five teenage boys would ever see the object. Move forward by about 32 years, and the Kira UFO incident suddenly sparks a lot of interest again.
Why?
I hear you ask. Well, to be honest, the Kira UFO incident at the time did remain largely unknown to the general public. That was until the May of 2004, when a Japanese magazine called UFO Comics published the illustrated account of what happened back in 1972, which in turn reignited the incident with a new generation of UFO enthusiasts, but this time not just in Japan, but around the world. In 2007, a total of 35 years after the incident in question, The director of the Japan Phenomena Society, or the JSPS for short, called Mr. Shinichiro Namaki, reopened the Kira UFO investigation. And Mr. Kazuo Hayashi, who was the head of the JSPS Osaka chapter, was sent to speak with the remaining Kira UFO witnesses. And after talking to them, he confirmed that they had all maintained the veracity of their original accounts. Another interesting thing that Kazuo Hayashi found during his research was another account which included a small UFO. This account occurred in the same area of Japan as the event in Kira. However, this particular incident happened 4 years later. On what was the night of the 6th of June 1976, when a 9-year-old girl named Sachiko Oyama, who lived in the village of Agawa, which is now known as Nayodagawa Cho, went out onto the street to look for her cat. When she looked up into the sky, she noticed a small yellow luminous object floating in the eastern direction. The 9-year-old Sachiko Oyama, then walked over to the middle of the road to try and get a better view. It was at this point that she saw the small yellow luminous object float over to a nearby wooded grove. The young girl was then overcome by curiosity and followed this small yellow luminous object to the edge of this wooded grove. It was at this point that the object hit a tree and silently landed on the pavement near her feet, and then emitted a hissing sound. When she was questioned later on, Sachiko Oyama described the small object as resembling a silver hat that was about 17 centimetres in diameter. I should point out here that some websites and resources claim that she said it resembled a black hat, but I'll let you decide. 9-year-old Sachiko Oyama then leaned over and touched the small object while it was lying at her feet, claiming that it was covered with a vicious substance that stuck to her fingers. Sachiko Oyama then suddenly found herself overwhelmed by fear. So, like any 9-year-old child, she turned and ran to the safety of her home. When she looked back over her shoulder, she saw that the strange object, while still lying on the ground, had started to glow yellow again. She stopped running for a minute and watched in disbelief as the small yellow luminous object soared into the air and then shot skyward and out of sight. And Mr. Kazu Hayashi, who, if you remember, was the head of the JSPS Osaka chapter and researching the Akira UFO incident, confirmed that the then 40-year-old Sachiko Oyama still maintained her story in 2007. It was at this point in the investigation that Kazu Hayashi extended the hypothesis that these strange flying objects were actually interdimensional vehicles that had temporarily lost their way after falling into our domain. So, what are we dealing with here? It is a difficult case, mainly because it was way back in 1972. And all we really have is a couple of very grainy photographs that were taken with an old-style camera. I do find it interesting in that we have two similar descriptions of a device from two lots of separate witnesses, who, as far as we know, have never met. Plus, you have the added bonus of the incidents happening 4 years apart, which again makes the description of the strange devices more credible. We could be dealing with a non-terrestrial surveillance device, or maybe it's some kind of alien drone sent from outer space. Or maybe it doesn't come from outer space. Maybe it could be some unknown technology sent from the depths of the ocean.
Why?
Well, to observe the human race, of course.
Thank you all for taking the time out to listen to this episode of Mark's Unexplained World. In our next episode, show number 93, we are going to be looking at rabies. Rabies is a viral disease that causes encephalitis in humans and other mammals. It was historically referred to as hydrophobia, or the fear of water, due to the symptom of panic created when someone is presented with liquids to drink. Once symptoms appear, the result is virtually always death. Rabies causes about 59,000 deaths worldwide every year, of which about 40% are unfortunately in children under the age of 15.
This show was written and researched by myself, Mark Hughes, and proofread and edited by Linda Hughes. The pronunciations of all the names and places, though, was all mine. The actors in this episode were Mark Hughes, Linda Hughes, and Denise Pooler. with special thanks to Neil Packer and the staff at the Haunted Antiques Paranormal Research Centre in Hinckley. And of course, a big thank you to everyone for listening. Mark's Unexplained World, because there's more to the paranormal than meets the third eye. And remember, guys, keep it real, because being real is better than being perfect. This show and all its contents are covered by basic copyright of Mark the Medium.